Hello everyone, it's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I love God. I love the plan of God, the purpose of God. And I learned to love the terms of God. Sometimes when people follow God, when the term follow God, sometimes people turn that word, that phrase off, because they don't want the terms of God. They want God to be pleased with their terms. But God is wiser than we are, and you got to understand that. Now, being honest with you, when I used to read the Sermon on the Mount, some of the things Jesus required us to do and the things He taught us to do, I didn't always fully understand it, so I didn't fully agree with it. But I said, I'm going to do this, and this is the way I'm going to govern my life, because I trust Him. I don't see what He see right now, but I'm going to take Him at His word. That's trust. And it's also faith at the same time. You know, faith is trust before you see, and trust is faith after you've seen. So I trusted Him with salvation. Why can't I trust to do what He say do? He saved me. I didn't save Thurston. He saved me. So He cares about me. So He's not going to do me wrong. And in what He say, there's got to be wisdom in it. And you don't always get to see the wisdom that's in the phrases and commandments of God. But Jesus also said, when you build your house on a firm foundation on a rock, you will weather the storm. Doing His word is building your life on that firm foundation. Getting saved is building your future on this, and it's also building on a rock. But really, it's not just getting saved. It's getting saved first, and it's also living the life of God, doing the commandments of Jesus. You're going to have to live by your faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because there's going to be problems that cannot be solved any other way. And the Lord wants your life to be healthy and blessed. He wants your days to be full of joy, happiness, and peace, righteousness, joy in the Holy Ghost. He wants your life to be full of righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. He wants to commune with you. You know, you don't want any of your children to have a bad life, to have a bad marriage, to have a bad situation. You don't want them to be unhealthy. You definitely don't want them to die before time. Neither does God. So doing the things He said do, paying attention and learning from Him, will keep you from having the worst to happen. And the worst things don't have to happen. Some people are used to the worst problems happening throughout their lives. But it doesn't have to be that way. So what I'm saying is, God loves us and He cares about us deeply. He wants us to go forward in Him. He wants us to know Him. He wants to take. And when it happens, you're going to be so glad it did. You'll wish you did it a long time ago. I learned about Jesus with understanding when I was about 10 years old. I didn't get saved until I was about 19 years old. I'm sorry. I got saved around 10 years, almost 20 years old. It was a few weeks away from my birthday. So 10 years later, I got saved. After getting saved, I wish I had got saved when I was a child. I wished I had gotten saved immediately and walked with the Lord. I would have been a Christian in high school, and I was not a Christian in high school. Some people probably thought I was, but I know I was not. My dad was a pastor, and he was a good one. And he did what he should do. My mom taught me the word of God. And I thank God for godly parents. But people don't always get saved when they hear the gospel. And I'm one of them. It took me some time. But I thank the Lord for His faithfulness. He watched out for me when I was on the run from Him. So I know God is good. That's why I say God is good. He's mightily moving by His Spirit. By His Spirit, He taught and trained me. And He got me out of my ditch and blessed me. And I thank Him every day that I live. I thank God all the time for all the wonderful things He's done in my life. Now, we're going to continue with end times. This chapter of end times, we're dealing with that shell game. And the shell game is this. Satan didn't know who the seed of woman was. Now, earlier broadcast, we dealt with that. And we've been looking at different people that Satan thought would be the seed of woman. He thought it was Saul. It wasn't Saul. And then he thought it was David. He tried to get Saul to kill David. He even sent him in the hottest battle trying to kill him. He gave him his youngest daughter, hoping that she would be a snap to him. He did a lot of things against David because Satan was after David, and Satan would use anybody that was slightly agree with him. If they can agree with him for a while, he'll use that person. But don't be afraid of what Satan's doing. The last broadcast, we were talking about how if your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. Don't worry about falling into the snare of sin. Don't fear that anymore. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. I'm going to read in Matthew chapter 6:21. He said, Matthew chapter 6:22, it says, "The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." Now, in other words, if you're looking to the Lord in your faith, remember Habakkuk taught that the just shall live by his faith in Habakkuk chapter 2. That's how we have to live. And David was a man that drew near to the Lord, and the Lord drew near to him. Because of that relationship, he killed a lion that was trying to steal his sheep. He killed a bear that was trying to kill his sheep. And after Samuel anointed him to be king, he was obedient to his father. And he learned to be obedient to God. And he loved God. He didn't just fear God, he loved him. See, the fear of the Lord, that's survival trust. But then when you get to know him, you learn to love him and his terms. And that's when you start having understanding. If you see it through, if you receive what God is saying to you and act on it with all you got, with all of your will, holding nothing back, that's when you're going to have, and that's the only way to have understanding. Otherwise, you will not have understanding. And understanding is knowing things in our right relationship. And you're not going to be able to do that without God, without His wisdom, without gaining an understanding and a trust in Him. Now, the Lord loves us, and the Lord loved David. So when David was faced with things, he never feared what he was faced with. And he did, for an Old Testament man of God, he did remarkably. And he did better than some New Testament Christians. He did not have the Holy Spirit on the inside. That didn't happen till Jesus died. The Holy Spirit was upon him. He was anointed to be king, and he was a prophet. The anointing was on him. We have the Spirit of God inside us. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit within. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1 and 8, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And we have both. We have the Holy Spirit within and the Holy Spirit upon. And we're going to clear up some misunderstandings in the future broadcast about that. Some people are afraid of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to comfort you. But the only way he can do that is if you trust him. You got to draw near, and then he'll draw near, just like with David. Now remember, David couldn't read the Sermon on the Mount because Jesus hadn't come yet. He couldn't read the New Testament. He couldn't read the book of Acts. And some of the Old Testament he couldn't read either because they weren't written yet. He had access to the first five books of the Bible, and he had the counsel of Samuel and Nathan, prophets and other prophets, and he was a prophet. He had the teaching of his kin about the judges and the wars of Israel that he could learn from, that he had a reference to. He didn't even have the Psalms. He wrote the Psalms as he went. And some Psalms he wrote during certain parts of his life. But he was able to write the Psalms because he had a relationship, just like you're going to have. Now David's eye was single most of his life. He looked to the Lord and he got help from heaven all the time. He failed. There were some things he did that was wrong. He even got in sin when he stopped being single eyed. Now, I've been reading that verse 22 for the last few broadcasts, but I'm going to read something else. It says, "Lay it not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." With that in mind, you can have whatever you want and as much as you want. But Jesus is saying, don't let it be a treasure. Don't let it be your focus. Whatever you're doing in life, even your ministry, even the work of God, don't let it be your treasure. That's just something that you do because you love God. Enjoy your relationship with the Lord first and all the time. Seek to know Him. Draw near to Him. Let Him draw near to you. And your ministry is just something that you do. Don't let it be a treasure. The car you drive or the cars you own, don't let them be a treasure, even if they're worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. The house you live in, whatever you got, whatever you've attained in this life, don't let it be your treasure. Let the heart of God be your treasure. Let the counsel of God be your treasure. Let the word of God be your treasure. Let the terms of God be your treasure, because it is. His love is in it. Even the things that you wish He didn't tell you to do, that's your treasure. Treasure that. And if you seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added. There's something else. I just told a friend of mine today, if your vision don't change, and see, no man can live beyond his vision. And the only way to do it is to receive God's word. And then your vision increases. And I gave him an example. How many people win the lottery and end up in debt? All right, their situation changed. They got a lot of money, but their vision did not change. They could not see themselves managing that kind of money, operating with that kind of money. They saw themselves a certain way, and their vision didn't change. So because their vision was low, they destroyed that money. They wasted it. They didn't know how to manage it. It's not just not knowing how to manage it. It's that their vision didn't change. When you seek first the kingdom of heaven and the righteousness of God, your vision changes within you. And you can see yourself doing things that you normally couldn't do, and you never will see yourself do unless you start looking to the Lord and learning His word. See, that's the real treasure. Everything else is just a bonus. And that's all it'll be. When you go to heaven, you're going to leave all this stuff here. But the people you take with you to heaven, they're going to be there. You're going to be glad. They're going to be glad. God is glad. And you're going to be rewarded in heaven for it. And you'll have finances in heaven for all the operations you do on earth is right. And you'll have lots of rewards where you miss God. Now, God loves us. There's no reason to miss out on His best. You have authority. Walk in it. God loves us. As long as your eye is single, you will always win. David was supposed to have gotten killed by Goliath, but he looked to the Lord, and he overcame his enemy. Even when people have cosmetic surgery, any kind of cosmetic surgery, if that vision don't change, the cosmetic surgery won't work, and their body will reject it. I watched that. If people, when they have cosmetic surgery, the ones that work, they can see themselves beautiful. They see themselves beautiful on the inside. So whatever they do, whatever man do with their body, it works. But if they can't see themselves being beautiful, their body will reject whatever is done. Vision has to be in place. And with God, see, He knows all this. You may not know this. People don't know these things. They don't even know to consider it. But God does. So keeping a single eye is in your best interest. Learning what the Lord said and why is in your best interest. You're going to have to trust Him first when you don't understand. And you're going to have to do it with all you got. And you know, when you study the Word, it builds you up. And it prepares you to live this life, to live a good life. It encourages you. There's peace in it. There's joy in it. And joy is increasable. Joy is always increasable. So when you increase in your vision, see, vision is, I asked the Lord, what's your definition of vision? He said, vision is developed faith. You can see yourself doing things. You still need faith in order to go forward. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God, and you can't grow. The Lord recently told me something about vision. Vision comes after trust. And trust comes after faith. And faith comes because of grace. See, the Word of God is where we get our vision from. I mean, our faith from. We hear the Word of God. The Word of God is a gift and a grace to us. We didn't make it. We didn't produce it. We didn't manufacture it. The Word of God was not manufactured by any man, even the people that wrote it. The heart of God gave them what to write. They wrote it. Faith is in it. So when you study the Word of God, you're gaining faith inside your heart. With that faith, you can fortify your life, because faith has foundation. And then you learn to trust God. And you build on that foundation. And then you begin to have vision. And you build some more. Now the thing about vision is, vision has no foundation. Vision has expectation. Now hear me clearly, because I'm going somewhere. If a millionaire has a family, his children will automatically be used to the lifestyle that he has, that they're living. They'll be used to it. They'll expect it. Without faith, they can't reproduce it. They can never reproduce what their parents did until they learn to use their faith. But if somebody gave them an inheritance, they will use it properly, because they have expectation. They have vision for that, and they know how to live there. Now, if they endeavor to learn how daddy and mother did it, and they use their faith, they'll have foundation. In the world, people do great things by works. Faith is different. It has foundation. Works. Faith without works is a wish. It's just a dead wish. Faith without works is dead. It's just a wish. Works without faith is incomplete. Your works without faith can be destroyed. A man can go to school, pass all of his tests, make A's, become a doctor, a lawyer, whatever you want to be, and get killed in a car wreck. He can be married, have children, a thriving family, and get killed, and that's over with. His life is over. Everything gone. He's departed from all that he loved. But with faith, you can secure your life. You can pray for your life. Believe God to protect your life. You can believe God to help you advance your business. Whatever you're doing, it's without limit when you live by your faith with a single eye on God. And you don't let anything come between your focus on the Lord and His Word. You don't let anybody you love come between your focus on the Lord and His Word. If the child you greatly love becomes terminally ill, the doctor says they have 2 weeks to live, you don't let that distraction change anything from your focus on the Lord and His Word. Because if you stay focused on the Word, you can learn whatever you need to know, and you can believe God for the provisions He's already made to get that child healed. And you can change the facts on the ground where you are. You can change the facts in your life. It's a fact that the child may die. It's a fact that they're sick. It's a fact that they're terminally ill. But you can take God at His Word and change the facts, and that child will live. The sickness will be gone. The doctors won't find it on the x-ray. It will not exist in his body anymore, because by Jesus' stripes we are healed. Now, if you can take God at His Word like that and not get emotional and let nothing distract you, you can have what you say. And you can command the angels to bring you much cash if you have a business. But first, you got to learn who God is, and you got to get to know Him. And when the blessings come, don't change focus. Do never change focus on what the Lord is saying. Always stay focused on the Lord and His Word. Always. Always stay focused on His Word. Because God has something to say. And if you take Him at His Word, you will live. You will thrive. Your family will too. And they'll learn to do what you're doing at an earlier age than you did. And that's good for your generation. Some people are going to lose that generation. They never took their children to church, or they have took their children to church. They didn't live the life before them. They didn't pray for their children. They didn't think it was important. And their children may or may not do good in life. They may or may not live forever. They may or may not survive this life. But if you put your prayer, if you pray to the Lord and ask Him to help you and guide you in this life, He will do that. And you will have what He said you could have. You will have the benefits of His Word. And that's what's necessary for the end times. Now, in the last broadcast, the Lord had me talking about how He never uses fear tactics. The enemy is always trying to distract you from the focus of God's Word. He's trying to separate you from what gives your life foundation. He's trying to separate you from God. The reason He was trying to kill the seed of woman for decades, centuries, and millenniums is because He wanted to keep man separated from God so he'll die in his sins. If He could have stopped the Savior from coming, everybody from Adam up would have went to hell, and they would not have been able to go to heaven with God. But thanks be to Jesus Christ, God kept the covenant He made with Abraham. Jesus Christ was born. He was born on time. He was born the moment He was supposed to be born. He died for us the moment He was supposed to be died. It was prophesied by Daniel when He would die. He died on time, in the right moment. He laid His life down, and it looked like they killed Him. And they did all they could to kill Him. But He laid His life down, and He picked it back up. And He told them what He was going to do before He did it. For you. You got a thriving Savior. You believe on Him, you get to live forever if you do His Word. Now, think about it this way. The Lord made provisions for us, right? He gave us salvation so that we could live in harmony and in peace with Him, in fellowship. Because the gap has been bridged by Jesus Christ. He was the daysman between God and man. He was 100% God and he was 100% man. He had no sin in him, so he died for all of us. If sin entered the world, sin entered the world through one man, and God gave us a Savior, and he saved, he died for all men to do away with our sins. And that was prophesied by Daniel. There would be an end to sin, and it will be. Now, when you believe on him, you get to live forever. And whoever you help that believes on him, they'll live forever too. Now, you want to live in God's counsel because your children are watching you. And if you do it God's way, they're going to have a great advantage because they'll have vision. They'll see how their parents love God, and they'll do right. And they won't go and do all this foolish stuff that the people are doing. And even if they do something crazy, the word said, if you train up a child in the way he should go when he is old, he will not depart from it. They'll come back and they'll get saved. They'll go to heaven. You got a promise there. But it does no good if you don't train them in the way that they should go. Now, the Lord loves us and his love is great. As we trust him and take him at his word, our lives become fortified and blessed. And we can do things that we normally couldn't do. And that's just the way it is. And Satan can't stop it. Don't be afraid of what the enemy's doing. Don't be distracted by his tactics. And proud men always use fear tactics because they're afraid. They're trying to build something that God is not building. And it's all in vain. Everything a person do in pride is going to fail and it's going to fall. Even if they repent and start doing right, the part they did wrong is going to collapse. And it's supposed to. So why waste time with that? He didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us faith. And if we stay single-eyed towards God, we will win. We will go forward. We'll do what nobody in our family ever did. We'll live beyond the expectations of everybody. Because God is love. He wants you to, you got to do it his way. You got to do like him. With all that in mind, you're about to learn something from God that you cannot learn any other way. You're going to have to take him at his word. Your faith has foundation and your vision will have expectation. You will be able to build by your trust and you'll have the favor and the counsel of God. When the Lord speaks to you, you will be able to receive it. And I've seen a lot of people, they wrestle with God and they never get where they want to go. And then they die. But longevity is in obeying God, taking him at his word. And I can't leave out the fact that you can get killed doing God's word, but it won't be your fault. A lot of the men of the word of God that wrote the word, they ended up getting killed, but they didn't die forever. They're alive now in heaven. What God gave me to do, I'm determined to do it, and I'm going to finish my course, and I'm not going to die until I finish my course. And I pray all the time, Lord, help me do all that's in your heart. Whatever you want to do, I don't care what it is, help me to do it and do it right. And he give me assignments. And I work at it till I get it done. And it works. Prosperity, it's obeying God. Success is obeying God. But I will never let anything, no success, nothing that happens in this earth keep me from my love towards God. I'm going to stay focused on it because that's where life is. That's where the difference is made. That's what sets us apart from the works of darkness. Now, Satan can't recover. He lost. Don't fear him. Don't fear his tactics. Don't fear his people. Don't fear bad advice. Just stay focused on the Lord. Keep a single eye. Don't look sideways. Look at him. Look at his word. Regard everything according to the word of God. And you will see what the old preacher is talking about. The way you see things will change. The way you order your life will change as you focus on him. Now, we're about out of time.